For more information on how Houston Eateries can lend a helping hand to KPFT, ideal locations will be close to downtown Houston and be able to provide meals for 12 hungry volunteers. Again, that's 713-526-4000 for more information. This is 90.1 Pacifica Radio, kpft.org, twitter.com/kpft, facebook.com/kpfthouston.
You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
All
greetings,
right.
It's a new year.
It is a new year.
I partied so hard last night, I don't feel good. No, wait, I'm just sick.
You can't even get the benefit of having partied hardy last night.
The cold virus is partying hardy.
Everybody I know is getting sick. I got sick briefly. My wife's sick. She's getting over it. People have been going to the hospital because they think they have the flu.
I got sick a couple of weeks ago, but it was pretty minimal, so I was pretty happy about that. But now I got sick again, and it's worse.
Did you
get
a flu shot?
Not the flu, no. It's still not the flu. Huh. I'm pretty sure.
I got a flu shot. I'm fortified.
I think we should seal the room, just in case.
It practically is sealed.
If you want to test, to see if it's the flu, mm-hmm. I can drink something and slobber in it, and then you can drink after me. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
That's always a good plan. isn't it?
Yes. How about just some deep French kissing flicked at her? That just
goes
straight to it.
Hey. You're fired. All right, I don't want you to, I don't want you to ever come back to this radio show again unless it's to fill in for somebody who's not here.
I think he means it.
I am not kidding. I think that's the important thing tonight is, well, we'll talk about that in a minute. Let me let you know that you are listening to Technology Bites. We're here on KPFT in Houston live every Wednesday night, and we are syndicated on a few other stations, apparently, out in the greater United States. So that's kind of awesome. Have we got?
I think so.
Well, welcome to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee. Nope.
He says he can't hear anything.
Huh. Maybe he's stuffed up. Can you hear anything now, Pete?
No.
No. Okay. Well, you're starting 2014 off the way we left 2013.
Consistency.
Perfect continuity.
The inability to get our technology to work properly. All right. Well, let me let you know that I'm Jay Lee, and he's Peter Hughes. We're working on. That's take it away. Oh. All right. Nobody's paying attention. So
I'm just waiting for Flicted. Yeah
that's
in the
Flicted.
Game. I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
That's...
and he's...
oh, and he's...
and I'm Peter.
Hey! 2014 is finally here. All right. So you can visit us online at geekradio.com. That is our website. You'll find information there about our upcoming Geek Gathering. You can also download previous or past episodes of the show. You can subscribe to the podcast. We also hang out on IRC, irc.cuckoo.com, irc.cuckoo.com, and the channel Tech Bites. You can use your own client to connect to irc.cuckoo, C-U-C-K-O-O.com, or go to the website at geekradio.com and use our Java-based IRC client there. And if you want to call in a little bit later, we will be taking calls at 713-526-5738. And that's all of that information. So we start off the year with news from the Technology Bites family.
Yeah, we have a geek gathering on Friday.
We're in denial.
And it's not Peter Hughes breaking it.
What?
Breaking the news.
Oh.
Well, Dwight is this is Dwight's last episode of Technology Bites as a full-time host.
It's true.
You're leaving.
I'm leaving. Now, when there's a hole in the Tech Bites-o-verse, I will come
Tech
in and plug
Bites-o-verse.
It. Yes. I will come in and plug it. So like when Jay's on vacation or when Flicky gets really sick and can't come in or something like that, I can be called upon and I'll...
How do we find you? Can we get a Dwight signal, or do we just use Twitter?
Just use Twitter.
Okay.
Hey, yo. Or my Gmail account. But anyway, yes, I am... I'm kind of trying to simplify my life and kind of calm things down a little bit, get a little more free time. And so I'm going to reclaim Wednesdays for my cats and my dog. Mm-hmm. I mean, my cats and my wife. And so I'm... I've done this for almost 10 years. I think, I don't think we ever actually figured out exactly when I started doing it as a regular, but it was sometime in 2004. So it's coming up on 10 years, and that seems like a good
A decade of your life.
Yeah, a decade of my life. And it's been a wonderful decade
back.
Of my life. I love doing this. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing it because I don't enjoy it, but... There are other things I need to enjoy.
And then we're still going to see you Fridays, first Friday.
I'm going to make every effort to be at the Geek Gatherings because I love the Geek Gathering, including the one coming up this Friday at Cons.
That's right. All right. We will be having a Geek Gathering. We will be celebrating the departure of Dwight Silverman from the Technology Bites family. We're just jettisoning the deadwood.
Are you celebrating or mourning?
Huh?
Celebrating?
Well, it's like it's
bittersweet.
It's like a New Orleans funeral, you know. That's kind of the way.
We're not going to cry.
Right.
I mean, you can cry if you want to.
Let's cross that road.
You guys have had so many people, cycle in and out of here.
It's been a while, though. We've been maintaining this kind of equilibrium for years now.
Yes,
you know?
We have. We've you know, we got lulled into a false sense of security, and now, boom, abandonment issues.
But look on the upside. This will be the first time that Technology Bites will meet its weight loss goals for the...
Well, I rise back to the throne of eldest geek when Dwight leaves, so I'll have that going for me. All right, well, we're glad you could tune in, and if you want to get your last chance to talk to Dwight as a full-time host of the show, or if you want to wish him well, or tell us what he meant to you during his run. you know, or if you just want to mourn the loss of the link post, he's also...
Yeah, what other changes are you making? This isn't the only thing you're walking away from, right?
Right, well, I decided to do, you know, for a long time in TechBlog, I had done this daily roundup of technology news. I did it every day. It took me about an hour every morning. Pete has done it when I was on vacation, so he knows kind of what it entails. And it takes about an hour to kind of round up all these links. And maybe on any given day, between 300 and 500 people view it, which is relatively low on our site. And there are other places you can get it, like TechBeam, for example. And so I just decided that I wanted to approach TechBlog a little differently. And so I'm probably will end up doing more longer form posts, almost like my old column. And in order to free up that time, I'm going to quit doing the link posts. And I'm also going to be working our social media accounts more in the mornings. I haven't been, you know, the mornings early on, I've been working on my blog. And I think instead I'm going to kind of like, you know, do my real job. So those are ending. But I may play around with other ways to do technology news in a different way. I'm looking at maybe doing something with video once a week. Looking at maybe doing some things with Twitter embeds. I did a little experiment today. If you have TweetDeck, if you use TweetDeck, there is a new feature in TweetDeck called Custom Timelines. And it's essentially like Storify, where you could go in and take individual tweets and drag them into a column on TweetDeck and then embed that somewhere. So on my blog this evening, I did they have kind of a preset one, your top tweets of 2013. So it's your most retweeted and most favorited tweets. And so I put that in my blog today. And I'm thinking about doing something like that, you know, a couple of times a week as a link post using Twitter. It would be a lot faster. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I'm kind of trying to simplify and clear some decks.
Yeah, and I saw where Walt Mossberg had to copy you. And
Yeah, that's really interesting. Walt Mossberg and Kara Swisher, who run the All Things D site for a long time, has got like a subsidiary of Dow Jones and the Wall Street Journal, have left, and they're starting their own technology site called Recode.net. And there's like a placeholder thing there, but at 11 o'clock Central Time tonight, they're going to throw the switch, and so you'll actually see their site. And
you should see if you can grab that domain, because all things D could mean all things Dwight.
I think
fewer things Dwight these days, though, with the link post going away.
Fewer things Dwight is the actually apparently the brand All Things D, which has been around for quite a while, fell victim to them kind of their amicable split. So there will be no All Things D. The Wall Street Journal site. Tech site is now going to be called WSJD. So there are changes on both sides for it. So it'll be interesting to see at 11 o'clock tonight what Recode.net looks like. Recode to me, R-E-C-O-D-E, sounds like a developer site.
Yeah, that's
it doesn't
refactoring,
sound like consumer tech.
Yeah, no.
You know, so
it's
it'll
like
be interesting
bug
to
fixing.
See. Right. So I'll be curious to see exactly what they do with it.
Well, plus them having to get a .net. I'm guessing that was a bit frustrating. You don't see a lot of new sites that are announced as .nets anymore.
No. All right. Well, we're glad to be here for the first show of 2014.
The best show of 2014. It's all downhill from here.
It is all downhill from here because Dwight's leaving. That just, you know, means that there's 51 more episodes of the year that are going to be kind of permanent missing geek formation.
Well, Flicted could take us all out with the flu, and then Dwight could just fill in the rest of the year.
That's true. We could all be out sick, and Dwight would have to fill in for a few weeks right after he left.
One after the other. Like I said, I'll be happy. I'm not sure I want to come back during fundraisers. I'll just say that right now.
Well.
But that's when we need you most.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Your level of commitment to your vague commitment. Find your lack of commitment disturbing. All right. So we're going to go out to San Antonio and do the Technology Bites info shot. And then we'll come back to take your calls. So stick around while we do the info shot.
It's the Technology Bites Info Shot. Technology news and commentary by Peter Hughes. Injected directly into your skull.
So yeah, I was going to come in person for Dwight's, you know, last official show. And I'm sure, well, first off, afflicted sick. I have the same terrible cough that kept me from two shows ago, and I thought there'd be enough time to be better, but no. So being at home, I have a cough button so I can mute out, except, of course, during the news when the dogs bark and I start coughing and it sounds like, you know, some kind of, I don't know, horrible, I don't know, think of it as performance art. So anyway, so if it goes quiet, that may just mean that I'm taking a moment to cough. News has been continuing during our time off. This one's an interesting one in the in the category of how does that logic out? U.S. Customs and Border Patrol can search travelers' laptops and other electronic devices without a show of reasonable suspicion, according to a federal judge's dismissal of a 2010 lawsuit yesterday. In its suit, the ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union, had argued that having border officials search the contents of a laptop violated the U.S. Constitution unless the officials had a reasonable suspicion that the contents related to a crime. Judge Edward Corman of the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of New York in Brooklyn disagreed and threw out the suit. The ACLU is considering an appeal. The suit was filed on behalf of Pascal Abidor, a student with dual French and U.S. citizenship, and of the National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers and the National Press Photographers Association. In 2010, customs officials confiscated Abidor's laptop as he entered the country from Canada on a train trip from Montreal to New York. They searched the computer while detaining him for several hours, then released him without charges. Abidor, who said he was studying the modern history of Shiites in Lebanon, had downloaded photos of the militant groups Hamas and Hezbollah on his computer. He let the Border Patrol conduct the search and provided his computer password, so he cooperated. The government searched private material, including messages between him and his girlfriend, and kept the data for further searches after giving back the laptop. Isn't that nice? Such searches are of particular concern for defense lawyers and journalists because that would give the government access to confidential information between a lawyer and their client or information between a journalist and their source. In dismissing the suit, Judge Corman said that the CBP already has special procedures for those types of privileged devices are rare and many of them are already done with a show of reasonable suspicion, he said. So the suit had alleged that 6,500 people's electronic devices were searched at U.S. borders between October 2008 and June 2010 out of 1.1 million processed daily, according to CBP, is what the judge wrote. Quote, stated another way, there's less than a 1 in a million chance that a computer carried by an inbound international traveler will be detained. I don't know. It seems like the law applies to everybody, not just most people. Anyway, so we'll keep an eye on that one. You know, of course, the thing about getting into your personal messages and that, just a quickie story, is apparently the NSA, there was more stuff released on how they get information, and they apparently have the ability to reroute shipments. So if they wanted to put something on your brand new computer you just ordered, then they've been routing shipments through of particular machines through to themselves where they could have a hold of the machine and set it up and then send it on the shipment. Makes all those late Christmas gifts, makes you wonder about that one. doesn't it? And the other one that was a big story is there's been on Sunday, Der Spiegel in Germany published an in-depth article about the NSA's tailored access operation, which it used to gain access to foreign computer systems. But the big details for U.S. citizens and iPhone users came via the revelation of a division named ANT, and its program, which is called Dropout Jeep. Don't know what the Dropout Jeep thing stands for, but according to Der Spiegel, Dropout Jeep is an ANT program that allows the NSA to spy on iPhone users. And by spy on iPhone users, that means they could access contacts, read SMS messages, locate phones using cell towers, and they could activate a phone's microphone and cameras without you knowing about it if you had an iPhone. According to a leaked document, Dropout Jeep program must be manually loaded onto the phone before it can spy. The Der Spiegel report reveals this ties into that other thing, that the TAO, the TAO unit, would intercept packages after they had been sent from manufacturers and then install their spy apps. So you may already have – it may be a free feature that you got when you ordered your phone. Or because they couldn't know, you know, then you get it directly and they can't install their stuff on it. In better news, Motorola just announced that they're dropping the cost of the Moto X handset to $399 without a contract. You know, that's something maybe that you need to pay attention to now. There's those phones where you buy them at, you know, AT&T or whatever, and you're paying by the you're paying a premium, and they give you a discount on the phone. You almost pay $399 with a contract for a lot of phones, so this one should allow allow more people to buy an Android phone with good features and all of that on it. And that lets you get into, if you want to get into non-contract type phonery, then this gives you a new option. So hopefully, the other thing I would hope is that this leads to more price drops on more other phones for the future. And mentioning Apple stuff, last couple things, I got a couple Apple stories. This one, the Mac Pro, you know, it is not an inexpensive little piece of hardware, as you may have noticed if you priced it out. I mean, you can max one out at around $9,500, I think, is the, like, put everything on it. But there have been some really positive stories over the past week from the standpoint of on two fronts. One, the first one is apparently, unlike, you know, obviously a MacBook Air and an iPhone and that stuff, they're all kind of glued together, so servicing them and upgrading and changing stuff is not particularly easy. On the Mac Pro, apparently, lots of a surprising amount of it is upgradable. There had been rumors that the processors were like soldered on or were connected on, so you couldn't ever upgrade them. But Anantech and others have found that you can upgrade them. So there is some future proofing room in it, and then, you know, on any computer that's going to cost you over $3,000 in the first place for the machine, then you know, nobody thinks about that as being any kind of deal. But Anantech has found that Apple's latest desktop not only offers a design that's unmatched in the industry, but that its mix of custom features and low price for what it is make it a compelling option, and actually cheaper than other manufacturers' options when you compare kind of apples to apples. When you compare to the same thing, it's a lot more expensive to get someone else's setup that matches that, you know, that has some kind of close match to what the Mac Pro does. And often it's difficult to get the same kind of setup. And this included one of the things to get the warranties to match up. They added in the price of 2 years of Apple Care to buying the base price Mac Pro. The other thing that's out there is that people have started getting their hands on them, and said that the performance was that there's a lot of people who are pretty happy with how it performs if you need that kind of horsepower. Basically, they compared it to an HP Z420 and a Lenovo ThinkStation S30. So, I mean, you can still order machines from other companies, you know, running Windows that have the kind of monster specs that that the Mac Pro does. They're usually much larger machines and much heavier. So, let's see. And then the final thing, final story. You know, hopefully someday one of us will win the lottery and we can have a Mac Pro in person, or I will, or something. Or, anyways, last story. One of the big things on the Mac Pro is that it supports 4K monitors. So that's cool. But a non-tech discovered that the support does leave something to be desired on the 4K front. Their reviewer connected a sharp 32-inch 4K display, which is actually what Apple sells at their store. And he expected OS X would work the same way on a 4K monitor, on a sharp 4K monitor, as, say, the current Retina MacBook Pro models do. And what that means is, you know, the 4K monitor is four times the pixels and size of an HD. So where an HD is 1920 by 1080, you know, they also call it 1080p, the 4K is 38.4 tall, which if you, you know, kind of cut it out and match, that's four HDs kind of squared out. Well, on the Retina, the Apple renders the screen at full resolution, and then so that the text isn't tiny on a Mac Pro with Retina display, MacBook Pro with Retina display, they render text, menus, and UI elements at four times their normal resolution, so that the size stays the same, so that they scale them up so that you can still read them. Because obviously, if the text was a quarter of the size that you expect, that might be a little tough to read. On a Retina MacBook Pro. There's also multiple options to scale UI elements up or down as you prefer. You know, you may not want everything to be the four times size. Unfortunately, on the Sharp panel, it doesn't do that, at least not automatically. And so it makes text and other on-screen elements very small and difficult to read. Let's see. The thing that's weird is by default, there's only a single supported scaled resolution, 2560 by 1440, and so it takes a weird the thing that the quote from the reviewer is that I was expecting all this to be available in the Mac Pro when connected to a 32-inch 4K display. By default, there's only a single supported scaled resolution, 2560 by 1440. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like Apple is running the same super sampling routines when you pick this resolution. Instead, you get a 2560 by 1440 desktop scaled up to 3840 by 2160. I know there's a lot of numbers in this. So you get a bit of a blurry mess. There are tools out there that you can add on that can get you something. They don't let you set your own. They call it high DPI mode, but you can't. You can only use the ones that Apple officially supports. And this guy had trouble with it. So that I guess the thing with that is it means that, you know, if you're working video, that shouldn't be that big a problem. But there is some work that still needs to be done. If you're an early adopter, even if you've pony up the big bucks for the 4K monitors, you may have some problems. Nontech also tried the new Dell UltraSharp 24 Ultra HD display and found it's not properly supported by the Mac Pro. So I think this is a good summary. The 4K support on Mac OS X, the reviewer called it, quote, a bit like the Wild West at this point. So, you know, the place, if I was going to guess, the place where Apple's going to fix it is when they come out with their own, probably when they come out with their own 4K monitor, because it's been a couple of years when they just changed to where it was working on Thunderbolt on their monitor. So they're really due. They're starting to be overdue for, and that should hopefully be 4K and pick up these other features that you need for any monitor to work right with a Mac Pro. So on the plus side, while you're waiting, while you're saving the money to buy a small used car that it takes to get a Mac Pro, and then a large used car or a new car if you want some 4K monitors, then at least while you're waiting, you know that they'll be making progress on the monitor support front, hopefully, by the time one of us board one. I'm Peter Hughes, and that's the Technology Bytes Info Shot News.
All right. Well, you're cutting out pretty good there, Pete. Number of times or a few seconds of dead space in there. I'm not sure what that was about.
I've been getting that from your side too tonight, so I don't know what the story is.
Always good to have technical issues during the show.
2014 still has some bugs to work out.
Yeah, well, we're going to get rid of some of the bandwidth sucking from Dwight's Twitter updates. That should help. So I hear that we have a special listener tonight.
Yes. My lovely wife is listening now, whether she still is.
I'm so glad this is finally coming to an end. I want to make sure this is for real.
No more French kissing the co-host.
she overheard.
Yeah, she overheard the French kissing joke, which...
joke, right. Any air-quoted joke. So.
And she asked if she said it sounded so maudlin she wants to send flowers. So
maudlin?
Yeah. Oh. She didn't use that word, but that was the context. I don't know if she still is listening. You know, she had to get through Peter's news, and so I just, you know, we'll see.
Oh man, I'm kind of glad you're leaving now. Get through Peter's news. All right, so we do have a goal to reach tonight. A goal of
now no one's back. Listening.
All right, 713-526-5738 is the number to call if you'd like to be on the air and wish Dwight a farewell.
That's why Dwight's leaving, because it turns out that 2014 is going to be the fundraiser year.
A year of fundraising.
The good news is we're only doing one fundraiser this year.
God. I don't know if it means that Ernesto brings his snake in every time.
I think he should bring the kittens when he brings the snake.
Yeah, that would not be good. I don't know who'd win. I think she is listening from the. I'm getting a lot of strange emoticons. So emoticons.
Emoticons.
Me.
I'm so glad. It's me, right? You are. You know, every time you say something like emoticon, my sadness at your departure diminishes. It dwindles.
Your wife, that's the blonde one that's been coming with you to the episodes, you know, like last fall.
Thanks, Pete.
I thought your wife was that cute one that sat on your lap during the show a couple of weeks ago.
Thanks, Jay.
We're going to make it easier and easier for you to leave, aren't we?
or be pulled away. Now I'm getting lots of heart emoticons. So
please don't.
I thought you and Barrett had a.
It's just everybody.
Who are you gonna rub legs with?
It's all just one cluster, isn't it?
Barrett may have to put his pants back on.
It is getting chilly out.
All right. Well, I see the lines are ringing. And I know that there are people out there that want to get involved with Technology Bytes here for the new year. Maybe you got some new technology. Maybe somebody presented you. I had a friend of mine and his wife both separately ask me about what to get the other for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And
did you succeed? Was that a successful?
Did you pair the gifts?
No. I tried to, and it ended up funny because one. The wife said, you know, I was thinking about getting, you know, I need your advice. I was thinking about getting my husband an iPad Air. Do you think he needs a new iPad? And I said, well, technically he doesn't need a new iPad because he already has like an iPad 2 or 3 or something. I said, it is faster and it's, you know, it's significantly improved. But I tried to steer her away from getting the iPad because he already had an iPad. And then about a week later, he asked me, he said, oh, you know, I've waited until the last minute, and now my wife's Christmas present is your problem. So I didn't steer him towards an iPad at all. She just got a new Mac. She's switching over to a Mac. So I told her that, you know, maybe getting her some lessons over at the, you know, getting her some one-on-one at the Apple store or a set of speakers or something. So they ended up both buying each other an iPad Air.
You should have told her to cut her hair to get him a pocket watch chain and him to sell his pocket watch to get her a comb for her hair. I don't know if y'all ever read that story.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, my computer, my Christmas gift giving advice ended up in a, they were so very pleased in the end that this happened. They actually thought it was just humorous. I said, you know, don't blame me.
Make a Tumblr about it.
A Tumblr about it?
I don't know.
An unboxing?
Oh!
Sure. So, anyway, so maybe you got a new iPad Air, got some technology you don't understand completely or would like to just brag about. You can call 713-526-5738 or 713-526-KPFT. I see we have some calls in the queue, which is awesome. We have plenty of open lines if you want to participate. Get your last jabs in at Dwight Silverman, who's leaving the show. This is your opportunity to do it. All right, Groovehouse?
Yes.
Who's up first?
Up first on the show, we are going to speak with George.
George, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Good evening, gentlemen, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
This is an offbeat question. It's about a cell phone. When I first got it, it was a straight talk phone from Walmart. It's a Samsung. I don't know exact the model of it, but what's going on? I used to have a little bit lower program, package that gave me 1,000 text and talk. Well, I upgraded because I never could get on the internet, so I upgraded to unlimited.
Unlimited data.
Now, I can't get on the internet at all. I mean, I get blank screen. I get a prompt about reopening the browser, and I'm cleared to cache and all of that, and still can't get online with it.
It's a Samsung phone. Is it a smartphone or a feature phone?
It's a feature phone.
And have you talked to your provider about the problem?
Yeah, they've had me take the battery out, cut it off, and I had to do all that from a landline.
How old is the phone? The
phone is, this year makes 4 years.
All right. So, and you bought it from, where'd you buy it from?
I bought it from Walmart.
From Walmart. Okay, so you probably got one of the cheaper, you know, less feature. If it's a feature phone, it's not a true smartphone.
Do you know if it's 2G or 3G?
It's a 3G. That's what kind of bugged me. I figured being a 3G, at least I could get on the internet. I thought that might have been, you know, what may have been the problem. But
have you tried, it may be a little bit drastic, but have you tried resetting the phone back to factory fresh?
I mean, no, I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah, this is an older phone, and I don't know what all you've installed on it, or just, you know, time takes its toll on a phone. And just, you know, when you're carrying around something in your pocket for 4 years, it tends to kind of degrade, but it might be worth your while or worth an experiment to try just going through the reset for the phone and just reset it back to factory fresh and see if it starts working.
How much data will you lose?
Yeah, I mean, I would back up anything you have on the phone, like photos and your contacts and so forth, before you did that.
But. Yeah, matter of fact, I got all those on the little memory card deal. I went on and did that. And
okay.
I actually took out a bunch of stuff and put it in the trash can and got rid of it. But the only thing that did was just kind of it speed up the process, my phone's actual process. So, But I didn't think about going back, just resetting it to factory.
Well, that would at least be a baseline. You could see if the phone's working, you know.
Right.
If it doesn't connect then, and after you reset it, you should probably contact the carrier again, because you may have to tweak some settings in order to get on if you set it to factory fresh.
But go ahead and upgrade and go to a smartphone.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the best. And I hate, you know, buying new equipment as a solution to a problem, but a 4-year-old feature phone is going to be rather limited and clunky. I mean, somebody came to a geek gathering one time with an older feature phone, and all of us, well, I remember Barrett, myself specifically, looking at it. We could not figure out how to use this phone. It was the least intuitive, clunky thing I'd ever handled. And it was like, if you want to have an internet experience with a phone, you should get a full-on smartphone to do it, because it's just, I had a Windows phone 5 years ago, and it was just, it was horrible.
You can, the nice thing now is that the market for smartphones is matured enough, and there's a lot of competition out there, particularly in the prepaid area.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Companies like IO and Cricket and so forth. Well, you can get close to unlimited data and texts for a decent price with some of these prepaid phones.
Well, even with Straight Talk, they carry like all of the Samsung Galaxy line, and they carry some more modern smartphones for not too much. So you might want to look at those.
Yep.
And another one, if you just want to.
A friend of mine was telling me the same thing. He said, man, you can go around back to Walmart. And he said, now some of the market has gotten saturated with a lot of different phones with a lot of different features. So a lot of times you can actually pick up another phone for maybe 20 to 40 bucks more than what you pay for this, because this one, I first got it was $59. Oh god, I think the same phone. Well, matter of fact, I don't think they can carry this line anymore. But $59 plus tax. So he said roughly for $80-$90, you can get you a real decent phone. Might even get you one of those Androids if they carry it, and probably really have a better experience with our phone.
Yep, that sounds like good advice. I would consider it strongly.
Appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a good year.
All right, thank you. You too. All right, 713-526-5738. Unfortunately, I think, you know, when it comes to using a smartphone or having internet on your phone, you want to have a phone that's got some capabilities, either running a full-on Android OS or the Apple iOS, or even one of the newer Windows phones.
Well, the feature phones, too, it's like they've got UI developers, UI designers that work just for those phone sets, and all the good people now are working for the other big companies. You're getting kind of like a cheapy user experience with these phones too, because you're not getting all the thought that used to be put into, you know, design of the user interface.
Well, it used to be that, you know, you could cut a lot of corners and write apps specific to a piece of hardware and have a phone that would do a few things like maybe email and browse the web. But they were apps written straight for the phone. And I don't even know if the Samsung that he has is even an Android. I mean, it could be.
Not if it's a feature phone. Probably not. No.
All right. So 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT, if you would like to be on the air with us tonight on Technology Bites. Groovehouse?
Yes.
Who's up next?
Up next on the show, we are going to speak with Rob.
Rob, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, first I got to start by saying I'm very ignorant to the computer. It's my first little tablet I got, and it seems like I keep running into dead ends after dead ends, and I'm very impatient. Seems like the whole anyway. All I wanted to do with this tab was like watch movies and live TV and stuff, and watch YouTubes and stuff, and I can do that, the YouTubes, but. When I went to this website, letmewatchthis.com, and it's supposed to be free movies, and it tells me I have to have a media player. So I went to
A bogus site. I would not even try using it. First of all, it resolves to a watchfreemovies.ch domain. it's completely bogus.
There are the web is full of sites that try to convince you you're going to get something free. What you usually get is spyware.
And it's not necessarily compatible with a tablet device on top of that. So your tablet device, for your options for watching video content, first of all, YouTube, which you figured out and you've got that going, that's a great option. Being able to watch movies, does Netflix make an app for Android?
You just use the website, is an app. Actually, there is a Netflix app.
Okay.
But you have to pay $8 a month for that, but that's not bad.
So something like...
It's legit.
Here's what happened. My sister got this for me. She lives in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she is not familiar with the Galaxy Tab 2. So she also got me a year's worth of Amazon.
Okay, Amazon good, Prime right? is good,
which
yeah.
We just found out is not compatible with the Galaxy Tab. It works on iPad and Xbox and PlayStation, but
Amazon content, for whatever reason, their player will only work on like the Kindle devices, which is kind
of
lame.
Kindle is one of them.
Right. So what you can do is, you know, Netflix will be a good one. You can actually watch live TV in Houston with a site called Aereo, A-E-R-E-O. There's an Android app for that. And you can actually watch all of the local television stations, and you can record shows just as though you had a DVR. So, you know, let's say that you wanted to watch The Big Bang Theory, you actually could record it every week on Aereo and stream it to the tablet.
And that's through Netflix?
No, that's a company
called Aereo.
Aereo.com. Go there, and it'll walk you through the process. It's also $8 a month.
Yeah, so these are all subscription-based services like Amazon Prime, and you could probably, I don't know if they'll let you cancel or if they'll refund you anything on that, but your valid movie contents are Netflix, and is Hulu available on the?
Yep.
Hulu is
Hulu,
another.
Yeah, it says Hulu.
Also, do you have HBO at home?
Yeah, I'm sure we do. We got DirecTV.
All right, then you can use HBO Go, which is an app that will let you watch HBO content on the tablet.
DirecTV might also have some apps to let you watch other DirecTV content on your tab.
That's true.
Yeah.
So you could.
So talk to DirecTV.
So talk DirecTV. I don't know if it's free or bundled with that. It might. The way they advertise it, it's almost like it's free.
It is.
I know with Comcast, I have access to live television through the Xfinity Comcast app, so it allows me to watch TV, and I can watch all the on demand stuff on my laptop and on my iPad and whatever other devices I care to use.
Oh, fantastic. Y'all are giving me a lot of good ideas, but I still got to get a media player, don't I?
No.
Not necessarily.
No, I mean, there's no media players necessarily needed for that. If you're looking at a service, they're going to either have their own app, which is a media player for their content.
Okay.
But there's not like a generic media player that you need.
And again, what you saw on that site, you probably aren't really downloading a media player. You would be downloading spyware on
a computer. Yeah, what that site's trying to do, the site that you found, wants you to install their software or a piece of software that they've modified, which is probably going to, and it won't run on the tab. They don't have any way of knowing that you're trying to get there using a tablet. They think you're coming there with a computer, and they want you to install this piece of software, which is going to then just riddle your computer with horrible spyware, which could compromise your personal data.
And it'll do the same thing. It'll ruin my tab, too?
It won't even run on your tab.
Okay, so they can't ruin it, huh?
Well, I don't know. They'll try.
There is Android malware, but that's not how you get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I downloaded one of their movies, so I didn't get it off of there, huh?
I would definitely do it, because not only are you running the risk of putting something horrible on your computer, you're in violation of copyright law.
Well, it said download.
Doesn't matter if somebody sets up a thing on the corner and sells you a TV that they took out of your neighbor's house, you're still buying. You're still buying stolen goods, so
be careful installing apps too. Like, the biggest worry you've got on Android devices isn't necessarily going to websites. It's installing like games or just all these little bitty applications that look kind of benign but turn out to pack more.
Well,
than just
a
game kind of
that's
thing.
A good point. But back to the thing about watching movies and TV, that content nobody legitimate is giving it away for free. So first run movies, released to DVD movies, that kind of stuff. Most movies, you're just not going to find a place that gives them away free. You're going to have to subscribe to some legitimate service that, you know, if you subscribe to Comcast, they charge you for all the movies that are on demand. They have one section of free movies, and they're usually older, not that great of films. But any site that says totally free, all you want, you need to run away from them as fast as you can.
That's why I called you, Jay Lee.
All right. Well, appreciate it.
Man, thanks a lot.
Good luck. Thanks. Bye. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of websites that what they want you to do is, you know, they want you to think you're going to get something for nothing, and chances are you're going to get more than you bargained for nothing.
Plus, you know, he's got YouTube. He hasn't probably haven't messed with Vimeo. There's also
Vimeo,
LiveLeak. There's like other legit. But
a lot of people
video.
Are go immediately for the first run movies and for the higher tier stuff.
Sure.
And there's tons of stuff that's, you know, copyright protected that's on YouTube that probably shouldn't be there. So you can see it for a little while and then it goes away because they get.
YouTube has the option to rent movies too. You could download a $2.99 version of, you know, whatever the latest.
Yeah, recently they started adding more pay content. Yeah. So you'll like go and search for something that shouldn't be out there and then you'll say, hey, for $9.99 or $2.99, you can watch this.
So, yeah, there is a virus-free way to see movies for free with your Galaxy Tab. You put it in your pocket of your jacket and sneak into movie theaters.
Yeah, you could take your tab on a date.
Then you could take it out and record the movie you're watching.
Dwight,
on your,
Down in front. All right, 713-526-5738. We've got one call in the queue, and the rest of the lines are open. So if you wanted to be on the air with us tonight, this is your opportunity, 713-526-KPFT. Just dial that up. Groovehouse will put you, he'll take you through all the rigmarole and then put you in the queue and have you be ready to be on the air with us, like this next caller, who is?
Next caller is James.
James, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
You hear me?
I do.
Well, good and great. Well, I was just reading this old book and just about, it was lots of, basics of electronics and their stuff. And when it comes to computer, it was about electricity, about everything's all over around. And when it comes to computers, the computer will say just five laws on the computer, which means based on and nine.
Do you have a question for us, James?
Yes, that's what I'm asking.
I'm not sure what you're asking. It sounds like you're giving us a book review.
Okay. I apologize for wasting your time. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
I think we just found Dwight's replacement.
Was it and or NAND? Because you listen like the
all the, the basic operators, logical operators. Yeah.
I couldn't follow it at all. I couldn't follow that at all.
He said it was all computer based on five laws, but I'm pretty sure he said and. NAND,
or XOR,
but I don't think he got through all of them.
He got through a fifth of something.
Happy New Year!
It ain't over yet. All right. Well, you know, I'm sorry. I was not tracking that call very well. And now all of our lines are open.
At least it turned into a transformer, or did it? Did it turn into a transformer?
No.
No? Okay.
Hopefully we stopped it in time.
That guy never apologizes.
No.
That's true.
All right, so Dwight, how's the conversation with your wife going?
Well,
has she finally given up?
No. I think she's still listening. I'm actually pretty proud of her, yeah. I think this is the longest into the show she's ever made it. Listening to it, and her 96-year-old mother-in-law is sitting there with her, who is now starting to tell Lisa, "I think I need a smartphone."
Let's see if we can wind her up. What else?
It's me.
She doesn't need a smartphone.
You get a new "It's Me" call.
Well, you know, sometimes
she needs a tablet.
Sometimes Lisa and I will be sitting on the couch, and Hilda will be sitting in her chair, and she'll watch Lisa and I on our tablets or our phones or something, and she says, "I need to get me a gadget."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Need to get me
one of those.
Gadget.
One of those like huge phones.
Yes, a phablet.
Yeah, she needs one of those.
Hilda needs a phablet.
You play solitaire and all kinds of stuff.
And then you need to get a shirt for her that goes with it. That says, "I'm fabulous." PH
with a PH. Yes, I'm fabulous. Yes, actually, I've given her let her play with an iPad before, and she likes playing with playing the solitaire on it, and reading on the Kindle app.
There you go.
Well, that nice update about the Silverman family. All right, 713-526-5738. I see a call coming in right now. So there are terrifying reports from Colorado. I see.
Yes.
Yes. So they legalized.
Yes, and in fact, pot stores opened in Colorado.
Oh, wow.
So you can walk into a store and
buy
some marijuana.
If you live there, you can buy an ounce. If you're from out of state, you can buy half an ounce.
Really?
Yes.
They are discriminating against tourists.
Yes. And you're allowed to grow 5 of your own plants as long as they're under lock and key. But you cannot smoke.
You can't partake in any of this.
Wait a minute. Under lock and key? That means you have to use a grow light and you have to use hydroponics.
Or you can have a
build a cage.
You can have a cage or a fenced in garden.
Armed guards?
I'm not sure. You know, move to Colorado and find out. Let us know, Dwight, how your pot farm is going.
Nice tie-dye shirt, Dwight. Welcome back.
Technology Bites, man. All right, 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. Yeah, so it's what's weird is it's apparently it's legal mm-hmm. in the entire state of Colorado,
mm-hmm.
and it's legal in another state. And then there's two other places where it's legal only in cities, like in specific cities.
Oh, yeah? It's like, Washington State is where it's also legal.
I think Portland, yeah. Oregon, or something like that. It's mm-hmm. just Portland.
Right.
It's not the entire state of Oregon.
Right.
Hasn't it always been somewhat legal in Alaska? Like, if they found less than a certain amount on you, like, they couldn't arrest you for it?
Well, it's been decriminalized. What they say, decriminalized, it's been, you only get a ticket for a certain amount, or they just don't care. But it's still illegal here, so, Dwight, put it out.
I found the sixth law of computers.
All right. Well, I see we got some calls in the queue. Groove House.
Yes.
Who do we have up next?
Up next on the show.
Oh, what? We're running out of time.
A short break, maybe.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we got to take a short break and do some station business here. So I apologize to David and the other people calling in, but we're going to have to...
We're going
to
get back to those calls for sure.
Pick you up in the...
Second half
of the show.
Yeah.
So that outro music is telling me that we're getting ready to go. So you're listening to Technology Bites. We're here going to talk to you about computers some more in the next hour of the show, but we're going to do station business. So I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's
Groove House.
We'll see you in a few minutes.
Did you know you can find KPFT on the social networking sites Twitter and Facebook? You certainly can, and we'd love you to add us as a friend and get us connected with friends of yours. Join our fan page and check out a special video message from General Manager Dwayne Bradley, as well as keep up with KPFT programmers and staff. Visit facebook.com/KPFT Houston to join us. To follow us, visit twitter.com/KPFT. With both, you can link up with other KPFT listeners, get the latest news about the station, and find lots of extras. It's fun, so catch up with KPFT online. Again, on Twitter, visit twitter.com/KPFT. On Facebook, visit us at facebook.com/KPFT Houston. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston.
Pacifica is listener-sponsored radio. Listener sponsorship is an answer to the practical problem of getting better radio programs and keeping them. A focus on advertisers or the mass audience accounts for the mediocrity of corporate radio. With such mediocrity, improvement of radio is utopian. When listeners support the radio they enjoy, their choices become better. Listener sponsorship takes control of your radio out of the hands of companies and into the hands of the community. But maintaining this sort of radio requires you. Your pledge of support keeps KPFT on the air as a vital community resource. So call our membership department at 713-526-4000, extension 314, to become a member today. You can even go online at kpft.org to make your pledge. Your pledge is essential to keep listener sponsorship viable for generations to come. So call 713-526-4000 to support KPFT. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston.
You're listening to 90.1 FM, KPFT Houston.
Hey, Barrett, what's happening?
I don't know.
Well, room around town.
We interrupt this skit to bring you...
Yeah. That means it's time for... Yeah. Anyway. Take it away, Barrett.
All right. Actually, I don't really have a Barrett time. I was a little too emotional to put one together due to the news that our numbers were about to be decremented. So, you know, if you didn't hear the news at the top of the 8 o'clock hour, or on the Geek Radio site, Dwight is leaving us. And as painful as that may be, in Dwight's own words, the best way to deal with loss is to go get a new kitty. So
Two, actually.
Oh, well, there you go. I've compiled a list of potential technological kitten candidates in the hopes that they would want to sit in for Dwight, pending Jay Lee's approval. First candidate, I went big with Woz, as in Steve Wozniak. I think he'd bring the appropriate amounts of cuddly authority and jovial irreverence to fill Dwight's empty chair. Unfortunately, he's busy trying to revive the Eudora email client, so he's out.
He also would be awesome during fundraising.
He would be awesome. Well, he wouldn't have to. He'd just be like, all right, let's end this.
I'm writing this check.
We could just turn him upside down and shake him probably for money, and we would meet our goals. That'd be pretty awesome. Meet the station goal. So, admittedly, Woz was setting our sights mighty high. Aimed a little bit lower with my next suggestion. Leo Laporte. Oops, I'm sorry. Hold on. Leo Laporte's bouncy ball. Not Leo. Just his ball.
He doesn't use the ball anymore.
Well, I know. That's why I thought it was a shoe-in.
It's available.
I thought we could get it. But,
for parties,
yeah,
and radio.
That's also a no-go. Something about too many sharp intellects in the studio. So, next up, Olivia Munn. Like Attack of the Show? Anyone?
Yeah. Or The Newsroom.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Of course, that would displace Groovehouse as being the pretty one, so maybe not. Although I chose her because of her background in journalism, not the way she wears a Princess Leia costume. So this is radio. Good looks certainly don't translate, and Olivia doesn't have the history in journalism that Dwight does or Groovehouse's brooding eyes. So we need someone wise, someone old, someone from another age of Earth, but local, because we've got to stick to the Pacifica guidelines here. So Middle Earth, I'm thinking Gandalf.
He's not local?
He's local for that age. Well, it doesn't matter because I reached out to his PR team in Rivendell, and he's busy fighting an even more impossible battle than anything he saw in the War of the Rings. So I wrote it down what he was doing here. He's trying to save print. So very noble, probably not winnable. He doesn't do small skirmishes like us. So, okay, so back to hot. Jean-Luc Picard, captain of the USS Enterprise, NCC-1701D. As people said, make it no. He's tied up in Federation red tape. Starfleet's General Order No. 1, also known as the Prime Directive, prohibits him from discussing advanced technology with primitive civilizations. So he could be here in the studio, he just couldn't talk, and so it wouldn't make for good radio. Apparently, we were in the running to get off the primitive civilization list, but then Windows 8 dropped. So here we are. So that was a short list. There is no long list. So sadly, that's it for Dwight's last regularly scheduled presence, and that's that for Barrett time.
Oh. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, actually.
Goodbye.
So Lisa sends me a picture of our cats and just use these are the replacements.
Well, that kind of defeats the purpose of you spending more time with your cats.
They're
the cats are here and you're at home.
Or
you
she
have to
offers
shovel
Hilda
them here.
Also.
I'll get her a smartphone.
As in, it was a wise, comma, old.
All right, 713-526-5738, if you'd like to be on the air with us tonight. Groovehouse has got a queue filled up with a few calls, but we've got plenty of open lines if you want to dial in. So, Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who do we have up?
Up next on the second half of the show, we're going to speak with Bill.
Bill, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Yeah, I'd just like to thank Dwight for all the information, you know, and all the help that he helped me with when I talked to him the last time about installing the SSD drive, and wishing the best. In fact, I'd like to wish all of you guys the best for 2014.
Well, appreciate that.
Thank you very much, Bill. We appreciate that.
That's it.
All right. Have a good night. Thank you. All right.
Well wishes are good. We'll take those.
So we're going to have more room back here. We can spread out, you know, maybe bring a second laptop, get a bigger laptop, maybe a little nice lamp in the corner.
Sleeping bag.
Second screen.
Second screen, for sure. Be nice and roomy.
You have second screens. Here they
Third screen.
Well.
Those ginormous iPads that the rumors have, you know, the 25-inch iPads come out. You guys will be able to bring those along.
25-inch iPads?
I'm kidding. I think there's rumors of a 13.
Right,
I have
12,
seen
9,
some.
Yeah.
I think HP and Dell have some desktops that actually are made to kind of act tablet-like.
Well, the 27-inch iMac is so thin, it's almost like an iPad on a stand. Jay's got one of those.
If only it was a touch screen, then it'd be there.
Yeah,
I've heard that Starbucks has already optioned the space that Dwight's leaving to open up a little Starbucks there.
Everywhere.
All right, Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who do we have up?
Up next on the show, it's the return of Scooter.
Of Scooter. 2014 starts with this. Hey,
how are you? I have a Windows 7, and I cannot get past the BIOS. This followed a power outage about 2 weeks ago, but I was able to get through the BIOS a few times. But now I'm just stuck in the BIOS. So it's on the screen. When I start up, I tap F2, and I get into the BIOS. Okay, across the top of the screen is main and advanced. I'm in the boot page. And when I scroll down the boot page, I could go to the hard drives. There's two hard drives in this computer, and this is only showing me one hard drive. And it says first boot, and then it has the name of a hard drive, and then under it is disabled. Do you have any idea what's going on here?
Well, it sounds to me like what probably happened during the power outage is that you either lost a drive or you lost part of your controller.
Okay.
Is the drive that's visible
the second drive, isn't it?
The second drive is the one that's visible?
Apparently so. I mean, it's
the one with no boot partition on it, yeah. Here's what I would do if I was going to try to get this thing to work is... If it's not the drive, if it's the controller, you might be able to take the drive and swap the drive location.
I would, flip the cables.
Flip the cables.
Is there a way? There should be a way in the BIOS, though, to go in and say, make this drive the boot drive.
But if there's boot partition on it, it's not going to do anything.
No. But the one he can't see has the boot partition. If you go in and say, no, make that one the drive.
He said that he had a power outage, he goes in the BIOS, he only sees the one drive.
Right.
So the computer drive.
There are two things that I can, all I have is arrow keys, right? So I can go up and down in the first boot box, okay? And I have, my two choices are a SATA, you know, obviously it's the name of the hard drive, and then underneath it says disabled, and when I hit the disabled, I hit the arrow keys back and forth, and it doesn't undisable. Does that mean it's fried? Or?
I've never seen BIOS say disabled. I'm not sure what that's telling us. But if you go into the BIOS settings and look at the physical hardware, you should be able to see what drives the computer sees or thinks that it has.
Yeah, I think that's where I am, Yeah, it's listing two hard drives. One is a SATA drive, and the other one is just called...
Is the other drive an IDE drive?
No, they're both SATA drives.
They're both SATA drives.
It could be if it sees the drive physically but can't talk to it, then it's calling it disabled. In other words, it knows the hardware is there, but it can't do anything with it.
Yeah, and I think the disabled drive, that's the one with the...
is it the first
in the operating system,
Is that the first in the list?
No, it's the second in the list, but like if I restart on that one, it tries to start. Okay, this is getting difficult, but it tries to start Windows XP, but that's because that hard drive is from the last computer.
Right, because so it's the old. I understand.
Okay.
All right. So what I would do is I would take the SATA cable out of one drive and plug it into the other and then see if it boots up.
Okay. So do you think maybe the BIOS got a little bit confused? Because I was able to restart it a few times by pulling around in the
BIOS. What I think has happened, I think that there has been physical damage to the computer because of the power outage.
Okay.
But it's hard. There's no easy way to tell what that is. Usually, a power outage will not zorch a hard drive.
Unless it's accompanied by a surge.
Usually, what will happen is that some sensitive little piece of electronics gets its feelings hurt.
Somewhere on the motherboard.
Somewhere on the system board or on the controller. Since this is SATA, chances are these are SATA controllers built into the motherboard. So some part of your system board's gone out of whack, and it may be possible to take the drive and plug it into another SATA cable or SATA port and have it the system be able to see it. But that being said, if the computer's having troubles, it's not likely that it's just isolated to the circuits that control the one SATA controller. Chances are there's other damage.
Okay, one more dumb question then. I got what you're saying, so I'll try that. Every time the power comes back on here, there's always a power surge. I mean, it's always, but it doesn't usually blow my protector. But in any case, is there a chance that, like, that surge somehow just, like, wiped the memory out of the BIOS, or am I imagining things?
It could possibly do that.
It's possible that the BIOS got confused. But in most of the modern BIOSes with SATA drives and all of that nonsense, it's really good about auto-detecting the hardware that's connected.
It probably is the controller.
It used to be that if your BIOS got reset, you had to manually go in there. And this is like back in the days of 386s. But you had to go in there and tell it what hard drive you had installed and tell it how many cylinders and all the geometry of the drive. These days, the BIOS is set to auto-detect and will pick that up automatically. It's possible that there is a setting in the BIOS that got changed. You could try. There's a reset in the BIOS to reset the BIOS back to defaults.
I haven't been able to find that one. Let's see.
Somebody's got some loud bass outside.
Yeah.
There should be a setting in the BIOS to tell it to reset back to some kind of default situation. But there's so many different BIOSes, I couldn't tell you where to...
All right, well, I'll give it a shot then.
If you've got bad issues with power, though, you might want to get off just having just a plain surge protector and get a UPS or an uninterruptible power supply. They're a little bit more, but sometimes they go on sale, and it's just a big battery kind of bucket that you power the computer out of there. So if there's any kind of a surge in power or a spike in power, it doesn't make it to your hardware.
Yeah, you're right. You know, I have one of those sitting around. It's got a dead battery, so maybe I'll invest in that.
Cool.
The batteries cost as much as the devices.
All right, thanks for the call, Scooter.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, if you've got bad power, a UPS is the
that can to... damage power. I mean, it can damage equipment quite a bit. Like, I've lived, you know, college and apartment complexes where I would, you know, see a lot of just hardware turnover, and you know, you even it out with the UPS, and it makes a big difference.
I've now got UPSs on everything. I've got it on my television, my HDTV. Mm-hmm. I've got it on just every piece of expensive electronics.
They've gotten a lot smarter. Like Flicted said, I mean, the majority of the price is you're paying for the battery. So now it only used to be on enterprise level UPSs 10 years ago, where you could see, like, hey, how much current is coming out of the wall. You can get those on consumer level, and it's pretty crazy to actually look. Like, what should be 120, you know, even on really clean things, it'll fluctuate quite a bit. So that'd normally be just going straight into your main board. So now you've got something that kind of, you know.
So I've got UPSs on my computers. But I have a power conditioner on my stereo and stuff. It's done UPS, but it's a conditioner.
So what's the difference?
A conditioner doesn't have any battery in it, so it will...
But it's the quality of the same level of quality.
I'm guessing that it has some capacitors in it, probably, and so it will not... it'll keep brownouts or small spikes from happening, but it won't provide long-term, you know, power on during a power outage. Power will still go out. It just keeps it within a certain range consistently, unless there's a complete power outage.
To protect your audio gear, or is that to make it sound better?
It's for audio gear, yeah.
Lisa has signed off now so we can do the real show.
No, Dwight's leaving next week. We can do the real show.
Yeah, I'll be listening too.
Sure you will. Sure
you know, before I joined the show, when I first discovered it, and I think even before I did the story, I would listen to you guys when I was taking my kid to karate class, and I would sit out in the car and wait, listen. And I spent most of my time going, no, that's wrong. You're getting it wrong. That's not how it works. No, that's not what you tell them. It's a driver. You know, I would sit there, and that was back in the day when it was a driver. And so when I got to know you guys, and then finally got the chance, I thought, now I can get on there. I can like correct them. I can be on there all the time doing it correct. And then I found out it was not that easy.
It just went. I listened.
But that's how every geek listens to this show, right?
Yeah.
Every geek listens to this show.
See, when I listened, you could get on IRC, you know. So, you know, at the time, IRC was a little more active about offering suggestions as answers, and also making a lot more inappropriate comments about people on the air. But it's over the years, it's gotten a little mellower. But yeah, there's a Simpsons episode where Lisa Simpson marries the like bumpkin guy. She's like imagining this dystopian future, and so she's imagined this future, and she's like living in this shack in West Virginia or something. And there's like seven or eight little Lisa and bumpkin kids running around, and she's like overweight, laying on the couch, and they're like making noises and stuff. And she's like, Lisa Junior, or so, or whatever their names are, and she's like, y'all be quiet, you know it's time for Mama to watch her stories. So actually, when this was back when I was married at the time, and so I'd be like, oh, it's Wednesday or whatever day it was at that time, because it flipped around a little bit. Yeah, I'd be like, oh, I gotta go listen to the show, and so yeah, my wife would go, oh, we gotta go, it's time for Terry's stories.
That took a long time to tell. Yeah. Well, it is time for your stories, Richard. Well, tell us one of your stories now. Now he's the storyteller, because you know, I think the greatest story ever told on this show was your friend or relative with the computer.
Yeah, that wasn't even my story, but that's a great story.
I think for all time's sake, maybe while we're waiting for some calls at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT, I think you should tell that story. If you're up to it.
Is it a holiday story?
Huh?
Is it a holiday story?
No, it's
I might
a
be able to.
It's an object lesson story.
I might
story.
Be able to turn it into a holiday story somehow.
Oh, we could put a Christmas spin on it.
Or something about New Year's.
Fresh.
A friend of mine at work said that his uncle lived with my friend's grandmother, so I guess his mother. And she had a computer, and I'm sure it wasn't the best computer, but she used it. But after he was there, living there, the computer started getting really slow and getting pop-ups and not working very well. And so, he contacted nephew, I guess. I'm kind of bad with family relations, but anyway, contacted my friend and said, hey, can you come out here? Something happened to the computer and it's not running right. Can you come out here and work on it? So he went out there and he figured it out, and it had spyware and Trojanware and all kinds of junk
back,
on it.
And when this was happening, this was the really, really good kind of spyware that caused really graphic pornographic.
And when you get
pop-ups.
like 30, 40, 50 pop-ups like within half a second, like it would just make the computer unusable. So he cleaned it up. He's like, all right, it's done. You know, you might want to watch out about going to certain sites. So a few weeks went by, and his uncle called him again. He's like, hey, the computer's having some problems. Look, I'm not going to lie. I've been looking at some porn. I don't want your grandmother to find out, so could you come clean it up again? So he goes out there. He cleans it up, and he's like, all right, you got to stop doing that. Like, you really, I mean, that's how this is happening. So a couple weeks go by, and the grandmother calls him, and his uncle evidently also liked to drink some. Well, it turned out what happened was, because the computer disappeared. Turns out what happened was...
You got it infected.
He was doing something he shouldn't have been doing. This is a Windows machine, right?
Right.
He's doing something he shouldn't have been doing, and all of a sudden, a blue screen comes up and says, illegal operation. And he was like, oh, crap. I did something illegal. And he didn't want the cops or anybody to find out. So he took the computer out somewhere and shot it and buried it.
So wow, shot it with a gun. Was it a rifle or a pistol?
I don't know what he shot it with. The story was he shot it and buried it somewhere and didn't know where. The best part, though, is that he probably shot the screen.
He probably shot the monitor.
So, yeah, my end of that was always like, you know, someday when there's like, you know, like intelligent robotic life, you know, them and humans will be coexisting peacefully together, and then they're gonna find
the computer
this.
That's been shot with a rifle.
They're gonna find this, and it's gonna start the revolution.
Cry foul.
It was killed in cold blood.
We've been duped. 713-526-5738. I see Groove House is taking a call. We have plenty of open lines. If you've ever shot your computer because it told you you had done something illegal, you're exactly the kind of person we're looking to have call in tonight. 713-526-KPFT. It's also the last show of Technology Bites featuring Dwight Silverman as a full-time co-host. He's moving on to raise two kittens.
Need to spend more time.
Apparently, there's not enough time in your life to raise kittens and do a technology show.
One cat a day isn't enough. Wednesday's a new cat a day.
Groovehouse has a cat, and he still makes it in, so I don't know.
This is two cats, two kittens. Also, there's an infinite difference in having kittens versus cats. You know, sadly, we had to put our 17-year-old cat to sleep, which is how we wound up with the kittens. And I had forgotten just, like, what intense bundles of energy kittens are. You really can't train or restrain a cat. It's grown. Kittens are just like something else. So
Dwight saw how much energy the kittens had and realized that was a direct reflection on how little energy he had. So he gets so tired out watching the kittens, he can't even muster up what it takes to come do a Wednesday night. So
pretty much. But I will come drink Friday at the Geek Gathering.
So come to the Geek Gathering, pat Dwight on the back.
We'll have a bowl of warm milk for you.
713-526-5738. Groovehouse, I see you have a call in the queue.
Yes, I do.
Who is it?
Up next, the mysterious electrician.
The mysterious electrician.
Okay, I'm going to try and help with the problem of surge suppression.
Okay.
You're going to need a licensed electrician to do this. I'll give you the information about the part that you need. Go from there.
Okay.
This is a square D part. It's called the secondary surge arrestor. It needs to be put in the electrical panel.
Secondary surge protector.
Secondary surge arrester.
Arrester.
But it covers the whole house, right? It covers everything going into the lines from the source.
From the at the panel.
Yeah.
So if I call a certified... All right. So anyway.
That could have been good.
Could have been good. But whatever. All right, 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with us tonight. 713-526-KPFT. And, you know, just call a certified electrician.
I think I know why he's mysterious.
Yeah?
El misterioso.
That That's right.
All right, all of our lines are open. We've got time left, as we say, as we bid farewell to Dwight. Hold on, let's see.
Where's Dwight going?
was that you? Yeah. I looked down and I said, "Where's Dwight going?"
For those who've just tuned in and don't know,
I'll be probably on the couch next week watching the recorded Downton Abbey.
You still won't watch anything in real time.
No, I don't watch anything in real time. What's it to you?
Uh-oh.
This is for Dwight.
In 8-bit.
In 8-bit, no less.
Yeah. We are celebrating good time.
I mean, I think that's probably the same MIDI I used for the Technology Bites anniversary party, like 11th anniversary party.
Oh, yeah? It's one of the best 8-bit pieces of music out there.
What is this anniversary coming up in 2014? What's the
June? Would be the
19th.
The 19th.
19th.
So the 20th anniversary, 2015.
Well, I have to use a Paul Hardcastle song.
No.
In 1985, war was beginning. We get signal. Main screen turn on. It's you. No, I have to go, it's me.
It's me. All right, I see a phone ringing, so Groovehouse is going to jump on that right away and make sure that we have your call ready to go for us on the air here tonight. 713-526-5738.
So I've got
526-KPFT.
I'm going to travel down to see my father in Corpus Christi in a couple of weeks to install on his relatively aged PC Windows 8.1. Mm. He has an ongoing problem with spyware, and it just keeps coming back.
And he doesn't have a gun.
And he doesn't have a gun, exactly. And so Windows 8.1 is a lot more secure, and so I'm going to go down there and put that on there. And I'm trying to compile a set of the Metro style apps to put on there because they're really simple and straightforward, and it'd be very easy to get to from that app screen. And I'm trying to choose a Twitter app for him, and I'm trying to, you know, pick a variety of things. And it's a really interesting experience because I have not yet had any real reason to dive into Windows 8 apps. And I played with it some when Windows 8 came out, but I haven't looked at kind of the state of the Metro level apps lately. And they're actually have gotten a lot better. They were a lot of it was wanting when Windows 8, but now there's been time and there's actually some interesting things going on.
What's up? Have you heard very much about the PC Plus stuff where they're going to start opening up like Windows 8.1 to Android apps to try and get more apps moved over?
I've heard there was some discussion of that. I think, you know, you could, there actually is an app you could run on Windows that will let you run Android apps. It's called BlueStacks. And it's basically an emulator, virtual machine for Android, but I've not heard anything about doing something like that. Although I think what you're talking about is actually for Windows Phone, as opposed to Windows 8.
Windows 8 also uses apps, but differently than a Windows Phone.
But they look alike. I mean, essentially, it's all based around kind of a similar.
They're showing it off at CES, apparently. So it's going to run two different operating systems, Windows and Android, same PC, and it's called PC Plus.
Huh.
So it's fairly new.
Who's
this stuff,
read
this a few days
ago.
Multiple computer makers. Let's see. Dive down into this. This is a lot harder than Pete makes.
A lot of the hardware vendors are very interested in getting away from Windows if they can do it, particularly if you can get to a popular free operating system like Android, which of course is Linux at its core. So remember all that, every year is the year of the Linux desktop.
Finally is, but it's not going to get credit.
All right. Looks like the call that came in didn't come in all the way. Groovehouse, what happened? They didn't want to talk to you?
No, you know.
Oh, you know. They probably were asking them for directions.
Business.
Business. It's all business.
713-526-5738 if you'd like to be on the air with us tonight. I do not like this new autoplay video thing that happens on Facebook now.
Yeah, where you're just scrolling and it plays. You don't hear any sound,
which is good. But, yeah, it starts playing automatically.
I don't like that on the Netflix app either. That at the end of the episode, it waits 15 seconds and plays another episode. That really annoys me.
I think you can turn that off in the settings.
I could never find... Maybe you have to go to the actual website interface.
I think you do,
Because this is through, like, DVD, Blu-ray players and stuff, and it does that, and it's annoying.
I think you can do it one of the things I dislike about Netflix. In fact, I tweeted at them and they responded, which was interesting, was that I want to be able to control from my phone, from the Netflix device, the quality of the stream that I'm getting. I don't need an HD stream to my phone, and you can go in and set. You can go in and set on the website what you're getting at the time. So, like, when I'm watching on my phone, I've got, like, a bookmark on my home screen, and I call my home screen to take me to the... But you still don't get it. It's a desktop.
Auto-negotiates every time, right?
It auto-negotiates, but you can tell it low, medium, high, or auto.
Oh.
But I don't trust it to... I want it to give me the least quality, because I don't need great quality on my phone. And it's not mobile friendly. The getting to that website on an iPhone is painful.
I don't know. When I first started watching stream movies with Netflix, the first couple of movies I think I watched, first one I watched was really nice. I remember what it was. Mm-hmm. It was Man on the Moon or, no. It was actually like footage of astronauts I was surprised because it was actually like they shot in high def some of the later missions. Like
right.
It wasn't black and white grainy. Mm-hmm. Like it was really high quality HD quality video. But then I watched some like, I don't know, 80s or 90s, like classic movie. And it was Stars, STARZ. Mm-hmm. And it was maybe like something with the guy from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Matthew Broderick.
Broderick. But I don't think it was that. But anyway, the whole movie was blurry, like fuzzy. And I thought, man, there's something wrong. Because I watched the other one, and this one's like maybe the streaming quality's wrong. Then I watched another movie. It was fine. Then I watched another Stars movie. Same thing.
They're just less quality.
They're encoding maybe? Yeah.
So whatever Stars was using was not good. I'm just saying that because you might actually pick the lowest quality, and you may actually not like it.
the everything that I've watched so far on my phone has been... has been from an era when it was HD quality. So I'm not, you know, I tend to watch like relatively recent television series and so forth. But I have seen on a full HD TV, like my wife likes to watch All Creatures Great and Small, the BBC series, I think it's from the 80s or something, where they were doing the James Herriot stories. Oh, I know that sound.
That's your exit, Dwight.
That's a bye. the James Herriot thing, and it's just terrible to watch. I can't watch it on an HD TV. She doesn't mind, you know, so he sits through it. But it's just completely unwatchable. But I suspect it would not look bad on this.
See, I have
this being my
dish
iPhone.
Or one of the antenna ones, and I rent, and my friend owns the house, and so... It's a receiver. It's receivers that are 8, 9, 10 years old, so they don't have any HD on them at all. And I've had a 40 or 50 inch plasma for a while now, and it kind of doesn't look good to watch SD on it. So when I flip to the antenna I made from coat hangers for local. For local stuff, and I see, like, you know...
Real HD.
Uncompressed HD. Man, it's beautiful. It's just so beautiful. Like, when I watch football games or whatever, it's just... or even, like, the news, like, you know, the images are so crisp. It's very nice. Makes me appreciate the TV.
And actually, there is some compression going on with...
over the air?
Over the air, but it's not just not as much.
Okay.
713-526-5738. It is your last opportunity to participate in a show that features Dwight Silverman as a full-time co-host. He will only be a phantom specter of his former self in the years.
You could put
to
a blow-up doll here in this chair for
Leo's ball.
I'm not bringing mine in. Someone else is going to have to.
You mean the Dwight doll or a different one?
The Dwight
one?
Doll.
Autopilot.
Oh, the autopilot.
Auto.
Auto.
Is his name right? O-T-T-O?
Yeah, yeah. O-T-T-O from Airplane.
What I thought was funny this morning was that in Houston, this was not a joke, the word hangovers was trending on Twitter this morning.
Really?
That was excellent. That was excellent.
All right, 713-526-573. All the lines are open. So
I would love for people to call in and say if they got anything cool for Christmas. I want to hear somebody call in and say if they got... I'd love to hear somebody who's got a Mac Pro and what that was.
For New Year's tech like. Resolutions.
Did any of y'all get any...
New hardware?
Tech?
No. I bought myself a new lens, but that was before Christmas, so...
I bought myself a Blu-ray player.
Really? That was on the list of 10 things not to buy in 2014.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get all 10 of them.
but I have Blu-rays, so...
Oh, you had the discs already?
Yeah. Well, what happened was I've gave away my Blu-ray player, and so I didn't have one. And so originally I was going to get Oppo,
mm-hmm.
which are really expensive, but they're really nice. But then I decided I didn't need to spend that kind of money, so... Instead, I just read reviews and got, a Sony.
Mm-hmm.
I got the higher end because I didn't care about 3D or about wireless.
Mm-hmm.
But it was on sale for Cyber Monday, I think. Mm-hmm. And I had some gift certificate cards that I could use against it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went ahead and got it because I ended up getting it for, I think, $70 at the end. Even though I'm not going to use the wireless or the 3D probably ever.
Why wouldn't you use the wireless?
Because I have it wired in. Because I have a wire that goes behind my stereo,
mm-hmm.
And then I have a Netgear 4-port router back
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I plug in Apple TV, my TV, and my Blu-ray player all wired.
So what I'm looking forward to, I've been playing with 802.11 AC routers, and I'm really impressed with how robust the
they
connection
have is. Multiple antennas that readjust themselves, right? Or
yes,
something
yes, it's
weird.
Called, it's called something beaming. I forget the full name of it. But
oh yeah, so if they sense a AC device,
right.
They'll actually change the antennas so
beam forming. It's called
so that
beam
it's actually
beam
sending
explicit
more power towards right. that device.
Right. And actually there were some 802.11 in routers that would do that, but not as well as this. And what I'm really waiting for, there are no streaming devices for a television set yet that use 802.11 AC that I'm aware of. And I'm really interested to see if Apple does an Apple TV puck that has 802.11 AC or new Roku, because that would really, I think, up the throughput on it. It's really dramatic. So I've been doing these tests with a MacBook Air that has AC, and when I do what I do is I put a large file on the desktop of my iMac, which is hardwired into the router, and then I download it with the AC MacBook Air. And for example, the last test I did, it was a little under 5 seconds with that, and then when I use my MacBook Pro, which is an 802.11n, it comes in at about 15 seconds to download.
Yeah, AC's supposed to be pretty nice.
It's very fast, and it's about three times the speed. But I'm very happy connecting the Apple TV, talking to these AC routers. It seems to be a lot more robust. I get less issues with buffering and slowdowns and
pixelation. See, that's my thing with, wireless is neat. It's useful, but my experience has been a lot of times you don't get the throughput that they say you're going to get, and you get dropouts and... Especially on like anything where you're constantly sending packets, like whether UDP or TCP, but UDP, like for video or audio, you drop packets and you get buffering, you get dropouts and stuff. And
good
so
amount of overhead, decent amount of lag. Yeah.
And so I've always tried to wire everything if possible.
But the higher up the higher your total throughput, where you have more and more headroom. So in theory,
I mean, at some point, yeah, AC may be the point where you're not going to see that.
Right, it's a 1.3 gigabit total pipe. You don't get 1.3, you know, but what you end up with, the usable amount, is still more than what you have within, and so, you know, you have a factor of improvement there, and it's very nice. The draft is close enough to the final spec that I wouldn't have a problem recommending folks buying an AC router if they're going to go out and update now.
All right. I think Apple came out with the AC, but it looks like from the top it looks like
it's a square cylinder.
Yeah, it looks like one of their power bricks, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of being like a white Apple TV, it's like
tall.
Like six of them stacked on top of each other.
Right.
Yeah.
And I've tried it, and along with some others, and I'm not. It does a decent amount, particularly in terms of range and throughput. But the previous AirPort Extreme worked with Windows, and this one isn't. The Windows app isn't supported. You can use
The
old one, but they haven't updated it, and it doesn't access all the features on it.
Okay.
So. You really stuck configuring it on a Mac, and so they've essentially kind of tossed that market aside, which I don't think is very smart. And a lot of people, even who have Macs in their homes, also have Windows PCs. You know, a lot of homes are cross-platform.
Right.
So I think I think that was a mistake. It also, so they still do these weird things on the AirPort Extreme, like the Apple routers only have three. Ethernet connections instead of four. This doesn't have USB 3.0 ports. It's got a USB 2.0 port on the back of it. I'm trying a Linksys AC 1900 right now, which has USB 3.0, and it has, and I have a USB 3.0 drive that I hang off of it as kind of my NAS, and the speed is just really dramatic with the USB 3.0 on that.
Can you also hang a network printer?
Yes, it has two USB 3.0 connections on the back. But, you know, if you got a wireless printer, then you could just use that.
Fascinating.
It's geekery.
It is truly geekery. We got about 20 minutes left in the show, so we're winding things down, but I don't know that we've got enough wireless AC router talk to span the next 20 minutes.
Of little faith.
If you want to call in and be on the air and say goodbye to Dwight or tell us about some new technology you picked up or have us help you try to solve a problem, be happy to have you call in at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
If only there were a mysterious electrical engineer that could call in and explain how they do antenna directional forming on the fly.
Beam forming.
Yeah.
Beam forming.
I love that word.
It's like
that's
beam interesting. Farming.
Because, I mean, I understand, you know, antenna. It's funny, if you talk to people that do antenna design, you know, generally they say it's at least 10% witchcraft, because you understand antenna design, but you always have to have tuning involved. And then beyond that, like, sometimes it's like, this is the perfect antenna design, like theoretical perfect antenna design, and it doesn't work. And then they just do something weird and shave something. All of a sudden, it's like an amazing antenna. Like, so there's aspects to it that's just kind of magic. So I'm curious how you would actually do on-the-fly antenna directing the antenna, like without physically moving it.
Well, one of the things I'm interested in is, you know, right now there are very few AC clients out there. And I'm curious how well beamforming will work. When what if you're in an environment where there are 30 AC devices and the antennas are constantly shifting back and forth? How does that scale? How does beamforming scale? I don't know enough about it to know the answer to that, but I'm really, really curious as to, you know, 3 years from now when everything is AC, what happens then?
I don't know.
Well, you're geeks. You're supposed to know these things.
Wow. We're just going to wait and see it happen. Go from there. All right. Sounds like Groovehouse is screening a call. That's awesome. So we will be looking forward to bringing that on the air. If you'd like to be on the air tonight, 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT, if you'd like to be on the air.
I don't think this is our mysterious electrical engineer, though.
No, but it sounds like a Christmas miracle story. So.
It's a miracle.
All right, Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who do we have?
Up next on the show, we are going to speak with Josh.
Josh, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Sorry, I'm not a mysterious electrical engineer.
Okay.
But I wanted to share a gift that I got from my kid's brother. I don't know if any of y'all have ever messed with a Raspberry Pi, but he is. I just wanted to share with him and help him, inspire him to get involved with computers. And he's kind of baffled about what to do with it, and I wanted to, you know, steer him in the right path, but I didn't want to, like, take away his creativity. So I wanted to see if you guys had any experience with the little computers and done any projects, had any pointers. Anything like that.
Have you installed Linux on it yet and gotten him like a working computer on the Raspberry Pi so he's got something he can get his hands on right away?
Yeah, we installed the, I think it was a Raspbian.
Yeah, Raspbian, yeah.
The original plan that I told him would be fun is we had family around, so I said, hey, let's install, it's called RetroPie, create like an emulator for old gaming systems.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, hey, that'd be cool if everybody could like hop on Mario or, you know, something like Mario Kart, something like that. But had some difficulties with it. I'm sure he'll figure it out, but the next step, I'm sure he's going to be stuck figuring out whether he wants to, like, create a home automated dog feeding machine or, you know, like a remote control car or something like that.
Does he have any sensors or anything like that, or does he just have just the board and an SD card and the, you know?
Just the board. I bought a case for him. Other than that, he's going to have to figure it out on his own. He's got an Xbox, so I suggested that he get, say, a dongle and use that to communicate with the computer, and I would imagine that would open up some avenues for him to tackle a variety of different projects.
Yeah, I would say the next kind of step that'd be pretty interesting is if he wanted to, you know, kind of dip his toes in the water of code, is to go out, or he could do it too, but, you know, get some LEDs, you know, some real-world objects that he could actually turn on and off. So just, you know, like some 15, 20, 30-cent LEDs, and then maybe go get some sensors, like some light sensors or some sound sensors, or they even make a camera module for it. And that way he can start writing stuff that'll take, like, you know, changes in the environment or changes in something physical in the room, you know, like someone coming into the room or leaving the room, and then he can make something blink or make an alarm go off or, you know, like update a website or whatever he wants to. But that's kind of the next step with computers that small is you make them start to interact with the real world and make them addressable, you know, via the internet and stuff like that. So that's what I would say. That's kind of the next step maybe you might want to direct him in.
Cool. And he's already started to explore the world of Python. So I didn't know if that was a good path to, or a good first language to delve into.
Pi and Python go hand in hand. A lot of the stuff for Raspberry Pi is written in Python, so he's in good shape. In fact, there are a lot of people that tinker around with Arduino and Raspberry Pi and all kinds of stuff like that that come out to the geek gatherings. There's usually at least, you know, a solid few handfuls of embedded equipment out there. And people that have experience on it. So, you know, if you guys are close to Midtown Houston or close to Houston, you think about coming out some Friday. Even bring some gear. So.
I am, but he's not. He's kind of in a smaller metropolitan area, so he won't have access to something like that.
Gotcha. The other thing, have him do this Saturday nights, there is a show called Ask an Engineer. It's on Ustream, and it's interactive, kind of like our show is. They can ask questions on IRC. But there's a show and tell, like a 30-minute Google+, Google Hangout show and tell of other people and what they've done with, like, Arduinos, Raspberry Pis, stuff like that. And then there's an hour show on, you know, hey, this is how you go about doing this, or this is new, or, you know. So it's a good avenue, a good outlet to kind of get ideas and see what the rest of the community is doing.
Cool. I'll make your appointment in that direction.
Yeah, Ask an Engineer is all you need to know. It's Adafruit fits it on. But it's Saturday nights at, I think it's 8 or 9 o'clock Texas time.
All right, perfect.
All right, thanks for your call.
Hey, no problem. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you. All right, Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who's up next?
Up next on the show, we are going to speak with Robert.
Robert, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
I have a laptop, a Toshiba. It's run XP. The DVD drive dropped out. The little black thing in the middle fell off. Is the whole DVD replaceable or what?
Generally speaking, most DVDs are removable from laptops. Who makes a laptop?
Toshiba?
Toshiba.
They're probably out there. Is it a satellite, or do you know what the model? what the model is?
Do you know what model it is?
No, I don't have it offhand. No.
If it's a larger notebook, it usually is. Some of the really small ones may be more integrated. But
no, it's a large, probably 13-inch laptop.
It's a pretty
standard. Sometimes, I have not played with a lot of Toshibas, but on some of the older laptops, there's usually a retaining screw on the underside of the laptop, and you can pull the drive. You know, once you remove that screw, you can slide the whole drive out.
Okay.
And then you could go try to source a replacement drive for it.
Okay. Appreciate it.
I'm seeing stuff all over eBay and all kinds of sites for under $20. Lots of stuff.
That's cool. It's better than replacing the whole thing. The other thing, does the Windows 8 units come with a DVD driver or not?
Yeah, most of them do. There are computers that don't have DVDs. A lot of the smaller footprint, Ultrabooks and so forth are coming without DVD drives. Why do you need one?
Yeah, I just where I work, I have a lot of spare time just monitoring non-existing monitors, and so I got a DVD to play other things while I'm working.
Oh, I see. Okay.
The other thing you can always do, too, I mean, if you don't want to mess with trying to get everything in out of the laptop, you can usually get external, USB DVD players. That way you can, it's not that much bigger than the DVD. Throw it in a backpack, throw it with the laptop, and you can move it around.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Sean.
All right. Thanks for your call. Yeah, a lot of newer computers still come with CD, DVD drives, burners, because people still do that. But we're starting to actually look at models at my company that don't have them, because we're not loading that much stuff from disk.
I can't remember the last time I used a CD or a DVD.
I'll even get CDs with new hardware, and then I'll just go download the drivers. I'll never even open up the CD, because chances are by the time I get that, they're newer. There's newer software out for it.
I used to, on my Windows machine, I used to load games all the time, but I use Steam.
Steam, yeah.
And Steam, has pretty much all the games I want, and I just, install it that way. What's cool about Steam is once you buy it there, you install Steam somewhere else. So I've actually taken games that I've played on my Windows machine and installed the Mac versions on my Mac. Because you buy it once and then it's yours.
That's the way it should be.
It is
the way it should have always been.
Yes.
But no.
All right. Looks like we got one more call in the queue. Groovehouse?
Yes.
Who do we have?
Up next, we're going to speak with Richard.
Richard, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to mention a tech item that I got for Christmas. Actually, I got several of them for members of my family, and I don't know if you guys have discussed this before or not, but it's the, are you guys familiar with the Juice Orange?
Juice Orange.
Is it the portable power supply or what is that?
Yes, it's JOOS. It's a solar, I think, as far as I can tell, the best portable solar collector on the market from what I can, at least I hope it is, because that's what I the information I got.
No, I'm looking at the website right now. Yeah, it's a solar powered charging device, and I'd seen something about that where you could you mount it in a window and at your house, and you can charge your phones and stuff from that.
Have they gotten to use it at all? I mean, there was a little bit of sun out this morning for a brief amount of time.
I've already used it. I've you can use it to charge up. I think they say that at least when you have good sun, good exposure, it's not as good during the winter, obviously, but it's still, I've used it already, here in December and January to charge up my, I think they say that when you're really getting good sun, you can get, I think they said for 2 hours of sun exposure, 1 hour of cell phone talk time, just to give you an idea, which is better than what solar collectors used to do, super rugged, even waterproof. You wouldn't dunk it in water on purpose, but it's, very water resistant. And you can also use it even to charge up a tablet. It works for my iPhone 5, but you can also use it with Android. It comes with several connections. If your particular phone connector isn't there, you can go to the website and for under $10 get another connection, for a phone that doesn't happen to be in the connector, the common connections that come with it. And then next year they say they're going to, sometime next year they're going to come out with a version that can even charge a laptop computer. But it's super popular with people, with people like me that just like anything solar, but also with people who, go backpacking and that kind of stuff. And it's,
Right.
Super rugged, apparently.
What are the dimensions on it? Like, it's kind of hard to tell from the pictures I'm looking at. Is it like 5 inches by 5 inches, or how big is the panel?
I guess I'd say it's a little smaller than my iPad.
Okay.
And if I remember right, yeah. So, but super neat. And for anybody who, I mean, not that it's that big a deal, the amount of juice that your cell phone takes, but it's nice to sort of experiment and learn about solar things and at least use it for maybe the tablet, stuff like that. So,
cool. Well, appreciate you calling in and sharing that with us.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, so.
It's pretty cool stuff. Solar power, the panels are getting a lot more efficient, like, you know, just by leaps and bounds
every
year.
In the last 5 years, yeah. it's gotten a lot better.
So that's pretty cool to where you can, it's like 50%, so you know.
Yeah, because they, for years and years, they were maybe 10 and 11% was all they were getting. It was pretty bad. Although I also heard that oil and gas companies had sat on a lot of
patents,
the patents and research related to solar for a long time.
Yeah, just it'd be really nice for people to, you know, just like throw out a solar panel instead of having to go find a wall outlet somewhere, you know.
Yeah, it's a nice option to have. I also saw one that I thought I saw one, and I didn't go look at it, but it looked like it was an electrical plug almost. Like it was you mounted in your window, and it collects a battery, and then you can actually plug in. Like
oh, you just plug directly into that?
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
So it's got a voltage converter there.
Yeah.
Built into it. Huh. Maybe perhaps some mysterious electrician could call and explain it to us.
Well, it looks like we're actually going to start winding things down. We don't really have time to take another call, so maybe you could regale us with some more lore about AC wireless.
Matter, the mysterious electrician could just meet Dwight at his place later.
I think we should all tell one thing about why we're going to miss Dwight.
Oh, God. Jeez. No, I ought to say one thing about why I'm going to miss you guys.
There you go.
Only one?
Yeah, just one.
Just one.
This has probably, you know, one of the reasons, and I've said this during fundraisers, but it's like a big deal, that one of the reasons why I love doing this is because the thing I loved about doing tech the most for the Chronicle when I did it was that I really got the feeling I got to help people. And this was kind of the last vestige of doing that on a grand scale, and I would, when we had a good evening where we knew we gave the right information to folks, it made me feel really good. It's like that's kind of what I was meant to do. So so now I am, you know, I'm not going to be able to do that anymore. I do occasionally, I'll help people on Twitter and so forth, but I'll miss that the most.
You can just get on the IRC and or you can call in with answer calls. Jay loves
it. I think I know the answer. I didn't listen, but I got an answer.
Why don't you just sit in your car and fume about how we're getting it wrong?
Yeah.
The old times say. Just
you guys have gotten a lot better since
we had Dwight help us for all those years.
Knowing what I know about Dwight's early tech abilities, when he thought we were getting it wrong, it was really him getting it wrong.
Come a long way, Dwight.
Yeah, he was, Dwight was one of my first tech support challenges when I got my first tech support
it's
job.
It's always the driver. Remember that. It's always the
driver. It's always the spouse. It's always the spouse.
You just got to delete that autoexec.bat.
What do you need it for?
It's your windsock.
all right. So, anyway, we're going to get out of here. It's first show of the year. 2014 looms ahead of us with all kinds of possibilities. Our farewell to Dwight show. Dwight, farewell.
Bye.
Good
bye.
Luck to you. You know, it's not like we're going to get away from him.
No.
Really. He's
we
on
backed
Twitter.
Him up.
He's over there.
Right.
Yeah.
We backed him up. We got backups. Yeah.
We'll just kind of get a sampler going of Dwight audio.
Soundboard.
Soundboard. My book.
All right. One
it's
last,
me.
One, how about one last lurch for us? Yeah, baby. All right, we got to get out of here. So you've been listening to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's
Groovehouse.
We'll see you next Wednesday night for more Technology Bites. Minus Dwight.
Bye, Dwight.
Bye, Dwight.
Happy 2014, and welcome to all those New Year's resolutions. As you wonder what to make of the new year, maybe contributing more to your community is your goal. Perhaps it's giving to things that you care about. Your support allows us to explore the world and the people who live in it in ways we never could without KPFT. Public broadcasting is the most trusted media institution in the nation, and it's a fact that you simply can't get any alternative media outlet like KPFT anywhere else on the radio dial. So make good on those New Year's resolutions with a contribution at kpft.org. Thanks. This is KPFT Houston.
Do you or someone you know own a local dining establishment? KPFT has a pledge drive coming up, and each drive, restaurants in the area feed our phone volunteers who give of their time to help KPFT reach its goals. Donations of food by these establishments are tax deductible and help community radio in the process. We also thank your establishment on air. Call 713-526-4000 for more information on how Houston eateries can lend a helping hand to KPFT. Ideal locations will be close to downtown Houston and be able to provide meals for 12 hungry volunteers. Again, that's 713-526-4000 for more information. This is 90.1 Pacifica Radio, kpft.org, twitter.com/kpft, facebook.com/kpft Houston.